Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton, Lee Cantor here with you this afternoon, guided efficiently, effectively, professionally by our trustworthy producer, Miss Katie Galley. Lee, I have so been looking forward to this segment. We are bringing back to the Business Radio X microphone a gentleman I first had the pleasure of interviewing several years ago now. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming to the broadcast founder and president with SellXL, also author, Mr. Steve Bistritz. How are you, sir?
Good afternoon, Stone. Great to be with you this afternoon in this cold day in Atlanta.
Well, Steve, can you tell us a little bit about SellXL? How are you serving folks?
Well, SellXL is actually basically a one-day workshop for professional business-to-business salespeople where we help them do a better job of creating, maintaining, and leveraging relationships with senior client executives. That's the focus of that one-day workshop. And we deliver these workshops all around the world, basically.
So now, tell me at the heart of things, can anybody sell? Or is this something you're born as a salesman?
Well, salespeople have to learn how to sell. They have to learn how to be effective with the clients they interface with. In other words, the good salespeople will do their homework. They will learn about the client. They will know about the client's industry, about the client's business, their company, their customers, their competitors, and they'll know a little bit about the client executive himself or herself. So they've got to be prepared. But salespeople who are prepared are effective. And salespeople who deliver value are the most effective salespeople.
How important is listening to selling, or is it mostly talking?
It's absolutely important to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And the reason is to listen to that executive. And what executives told us was they want salespeople who listen to them and understand their needs and requirements before proposing any kind of solution, before telling the client executive about the product or service. They want to make sure that the salesperson understands their needs and requirements before they start hawking their solution, if you will.
Do you see that a lot? A lot of salespeople, they just, as soon as they get in front of somebody, they can't wait to tell them all the benefits and features of what they got.
Yeah, exactly. What executives say is that some salespeople just come in and, well, come up and throw up about their products and services, and no idea of what the needs or requirements of that executive are. So it's so important to listen. And you asked that question first. That is paramount, listening before proposing a solution.
Now, when you're doing these workshops, do the participants get a chance to kind of role model and kind of practice in a safe environment some of these skills?
Absolutely. All of our workshops are extremely activity oriented. We make certain that we deliver some concepts, maybe templates about how to develop a particular area that we're focusing on. And then we get them to test their knowledge, their skills, and to show us that they can deliver the solution, if you will, to the client. And have they mastered the skills? Have they learned what we're trying to teach them?
So now, doing all of these workshops and kind of working with so many salespeople and working with executives, you wrote, I guess a while ago, the book, Selling to the C-Suite, and now you have a new edition of that book out?
Yes, the first edition came out actually in 2009, and it actually became a best-selling sales book. So about 15 months ago, we went back to McGraw-Hill and we said, hey, look, things have changed. Some new concepts are out there. We want to update the material. And since it's been a best-selling sales book, what do you think? And basically, their criteria that they came back to us was that we had to change 30% of the content in order to have a viable second edition. They didn't want just a remake. Well, we actually probably changed about 50 to 60% of the content, enlarged it, made it bigger, and I think better and more effective for today's salespeople.
You enlarged it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
The
text?
The print, the larger. Because everybody's older now.
Yeah, we made the print a little bigger, so there it's more pages.
No, you talk about things changing. Saturday, I bought a watch that I can have a phone call on.
Right.
Right.
I mean, I saw that the other day. I saw a person with that. I thought I was in the Dick Tracy comic strip.
So was it fun going back in and doing this? Did you have a good time doing it?
Oh, absolutely. It was a great time going back and actually looking at what we had created the first time around. And there were some things that really changed. And executives now, for example, get involved much earlier in the buying process. They're using the internet. They're checking out salespeople. They're checking out salespeople on LinkedIn, for example. And they're using social media much more effectively. They know about you, your products, and your services before you even come into the door. And that's why it's so important, by the way, for the salesperson to have an up-to-date and effective LinkedIn profile, one that can show the executive the types of value they can deliver to the executive. So when the executive looks at that profile, they say, yeah, that's a salesperson I want to have a conversation with. And you know, executives tell us that they do want to meet with salespeople, even the most senior executives. For example, when we were doing research on the first book, I asked one of the executives who we were asking them about how they have relationships with professional salespeople, I asked that executive, why would you ever want to meet with a professional salesperson? And what he said astounded me. He said, I meet with professional salespeople because often they can offer me a solution that even people within my own organization can't come up with. They've seen this in other companies, and I want the benefit of their experience and their knowledge. So salespeople can add value, and that's when executives said they want to talk to us.
So now, when you're doing kind of a second edition of a book like this, how did you go about getting this new information? Were you doing research, talking to the C-suite, or is this your own network you tapped?
Well, actually, we actually tapped into some of the research that had already been conducted by other organizations, where they looked at the use of social media, they looked at the use of LinkedIn, they looked at when executives are getting involved in the buying process. And again, we thought they got involved early to help establish the objectives for a project and late to measure the results, but they get in even earlier because they have access to the internet, and they're making much more use of that tool than we ever thought. We thought, well, lower level executives sure use it, but maybe not the CXO, the top level, the C-suite executives. We didn't know that they were tapping into the internet also as much as they are.
Now, are you finding that the selling it's a more complex environment than it was maybe when the first edition came out, that there's more kind of fingers in the pot when it comes to making a decision, and the salesperson has to navigate a few more roadblocks than they had previously?
Absolutely. Much more involvement by other executives in the client organization. Much more complex because there are just so many competitors out there that it's incredible. You know, there are so many niche competitors today dealing in every little facet of every opportunity that, you know, a salesperson going in and making a presentation to a client executive, you know, they could be blindsided by what may be considered non-traditional competitors that they weren't even aware of, that perhaps didn't even exist 2-3 years ago. The competition is much more significant today, and the buying cycle and the buying process is much more complex. Like you said, many more decision makers involved in the process.
Now, do you have any tips for the salesperson out there that sells to the C-suite on navigating when there's several people that can say no? Anybody can kind of sabotage the deal at any point. How do you kind of work around that?
Well, what we tell salespeople is they need to find what I call the relevant executive for the sales opportunity. And I define the relevant executive. In fact, there's a whole chapter now in the second edition of the book, and this is new and different from the first edition. There's a whole chapter dedicated to the concept of the relevant executive. And I define that relevant executive as the executive who stands to gain the most or lose the most as a result of the outcome of the project or application that's associated with the sales opportunity. So what I tell salespeople is you've got to sit on the other side of the desk. You've got to view your sales opportunity from the client's perspective. And the executive who has all that at stake, whose neck is on the line for a particular project or application, they're the relevant executive. And that's the executive we've got to hone in on, not only to identify with that relevant executive, but to align with that executive so we get that executive selling for us inside the client organization.
And Lee, I know you were raised in South Florida. This is available in Spanish as well. Am I right?
The workshop is.
Oh, okay.
The workshop, good point. Thanks for bringing that up. The workshop is available in Spanish. And actually, I have two facilitators who are fluent in Spanish and who deliver the workshop in Spanish.
Now, what about the company that's a challenger brand? Do you have any advice for that that company that's out there, maybe the scrappy guy that's got an innovative solution, but they're selling against an incumbent that, you know, where it's easier to stay with the status quo? Like no one's getting fired by, you know, buying from the incumbent, whereas it's a risk to go with the challenger brand. Do you have any advice for the challenger brand folks out there?
Well, there's always a risk associated with any new decision. And what salespeople have to do is minimize the risk to the client. Client executives will take calculated risks when you can show them the value of your solution. And by the way, I tell salespeople, there are three elements of value that they bring to the client's organization. Number one is their personal value, their experience, their knowledge of how to solve some of these problems. The value of their company's resources, in addition to, third, the value of your company's solution. And if you can package those three together and develop a value proposition for the client, you will have differentiated your value from that of your competitors and minimize the risk of switching, as you mentioned, for the client executive.
Now, is that in the book too, or that was just some Steve knowledge there?
No, that's right. That's right in the book.
It's all in,
keep any secrets.
All the good stuff's in the book.
All the good stuff. That's
but he does have the pedigree. I mean, you've carried the bag. You have sold at the executive level for a couple of companies we may have heard of probably. Yeah.
Like IBM.
Right.
I actually spent 28 years at IBM in a variety of sales management, and training management positions. And that really kind of gave me a perspective on, you know, let's make sure we get to executives. And, you know, the mantra back in IBM all the time was sell at the top, sell at the top. We don't necessarily have to get to the CEO, but you've got to get to that relevant executive. And often that's a C-suite executive. It may be a lower level manager, it may be a lower level executive, but you've got to be looking for that relevant executive for the sales opportunity.
Well, when you were starting out at IBM or maybe at the beginning of your career, did you have anybody that was kind of a mentor or an influence for you?
Absolutely. At IBM, there was an executive, and his name was, by the way, Buck Rogers.
Okay. You're making now,
yeah, right. No, he was a senior executive. And when I saw him, I mean, he was a paramount of excellence in everything that he did. And you know, at IBM, we were always striving for excellence, but Buck Rogers was the guy. And he really brought it home for me because he made a statement one time. He said, If you lose your job, it's kind of catastrophic. If you lose your health, it's beyond catastrophic. But if you lose your integrity, you've lost everything. And that told me that you've always got to be operating at the highest levels of integrity. And as a salesperson, I always kept that in the back of my mind. How can I go and deliver value to a client at the highest level of integrity and maintain my integrity throughout the sales process? And I've done that throughout my career. And he was really kind of a mentor, but he was certainly a model for me, something to strive for.
Now, this book, when you originally wrote it, did you anticipate the level of kind of accolades and notoriety you would be getting from it?
No, no way. In fact, when we first proposed the book to McGraw-Hill, they said, well, you maybe if this book is good, we may sell about 5,000 copies. That's really good for a business book. But we wound up selling somewhere between 35 and 40,000 copies of the first edition. And that's why they were so open to a follow-on, a second edition. And we're hoping that this book is even more successful because we've expanded it and we've really brought it up to date. It's now what how to sell in the 21st century for professional business-to-business salespeople.
And it's you know it's funny because in sales there's not just you know one or two books about selling out there. There's quite a few books, and yours really stands out.
Well, I think what makes it stand out was that it's created from the perspective of the executive. And that was because some of the research we've done with those CXO level executives, where we asked them about their relationships with professional salespeople. A lot of the sales books that are out there today are, you know, some tips or techniques on how a particular salesperson was effective in winning a deal. This shows you what you need to do from the client's perspective, what the client is looking for you to do in order to close the deal. And that's what makes it stand out. That's what makes it different.
Well, one of the aspects of that is getting in front of them to have kind of a conversation in some manner. Does it have some strategies to get access to the executive that you have deemed as the relevant executive in the deal?
Absolutely. And what executives told us was the best way to get to them, for example, was number one, people within their organization who recommend to the executive that they see you. This could be a lower level executive, or it could even be a gatekeeper. And one of the things I constantly tell salespeople is treat the gatekeeper as a resource. In fact, I take it one step further, and I say, treat the gatekeeper as if he or she is the executive himself or herself. Because oftentimes, those gatekeepers will give you insight into what's important to the executive, because they know what's on the executive's mind. And if you treat them right, they'll often give you that information. And I can't tell you how many times in my career, and this is in selling at IBM, in selling for a small sales training company, and selling in my own business, how important gatekeepers have been for me and how valuable they have been for me. So treat those gatekeepers as if they were the executive.
Well, you mentioned LinkedIn earlier. Is it possible nowadays to build relationships with the right people in an organization through social media and LinkedIn and communicating? Is that appropriate?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the use of Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook and other social media is really important today. And one of the things I tell salespeople is, you know, before you're going to make that call on an executive, check out their LinkedIn profile. I can't tell you how many times when I'm making a call on an executive, I find their LinkedIn profile first. And what I look for is not only their background and their experience, the companies they've worked at before. Perhaps I know some people who are working there today. I look at who some of their key contacts are. And maybe I know some of those people, and maybe they can give me an insight about that executive. So preparation and doing your homework using the latest tools like LinkedIn is absolutely paramount of importance today for today's salespeople. And you know, back when I was first selling at IBM, we had to send to the company and get their annual report. Well, think how dramatically different it is today when you can be in your car in the parking lot. And I'm not suggesting you do it at this time. You know, way ahead of time is when you should be doing this. But even at the last minute, you can get some information that may help you, give you an edge when you're making that call on that executive.
I might have been on vacation when you reached out to me to do this, but since you couldn't get me, apparently you got Neil Rackham to write the foreword for your book. Yeah. Tell us about that. You know this guy, I guess, yeah?
Well, that was really funny in a way, because we, before we actually sent the book to McGraw-Hill and other publishers to try to get interest, we went out to people in the sales industry, executives and well-known people in the sales industry like Neil Rackham. And we sent Neil Rackham a PDF of the book. And we got an email back from him and said, you know, I get hundreds of these and you may not hear from me for weeks or months, but I only review a few of them. And within 2 weeks, he got back to us with glowing comments about how he liked the book. It was research-based, which is exactly what he likes. And then we went back to him later, and after he had given us those comments, we went back to him later and said, hey, would you be willing to write the foreword for us? And he said, absolutely, it'd be an honor for me, he said. That's what he said. And we left it in the second edition. We thought it was so good. He says it better than we can. And take a look at it when you get the book, read his foreword and see what he thinks about it.
Now, you mentioned earlier that listening is an important trait of a top salesperson. How important is it for the salesperson to invest time in kind of being a subject matter expert in whatever it is, the niche that they serve?
Well, again, what I tell salespeople is before you make that call on the client executive, you need to know about the client's industry, about the client's company, and about the client executive. And it always brings me back to a salesperson who was actually one of my role models beyond Buck Rogers, if you will. And paradoxically, his name was Bradley Buck. And he sat in front of me in a bullpen in the sales office at IBM. And I would hear him talking to client executives. And those executives would be calling him and asking Brad for advice on things that had nothing to do with IBM's products or services, because they knew that Brad knew their company. Brad knew the company better than some of the inside people. And the executive would call him and ask him for advice, like, Brad, we're thinking of building a new manufacturing plant in the Midwest. What do you think of that idea? Well, that wasn't anything to do with an IBM mainframe computer, okay? But Brad would give them his advice, you know, because he knew about their business. And they would call and I'd listen to these phone calls and say, how does he do this? And he did it through preparation and being knowledgeable about the client and about the executive.
Now, for you in your career, you started out as a salesperson, but at some point you started training other salespeople. Mm-hmm. How did that transition happen? And what gave you the confidence to think that the knowledge you had gotten and the experience you had was transferable to others?
Well, I learned very early in my IBM career, I was given opportunities to get in front of people and share my knowledge, for example, of a certain industry. It actually had to do with the manufacturing industry at the time. Because we were selling to a lot of manufacturing companies. So I had that knowledge, and I would get in front of groups and I'd get that level of confidence, not only in what I was saying and how to sell, but also in my knowledge of the industry. And I found I really liked the training environment. And I really like doing that. And I said, well, how can I kind of put that together, my sales background and my sales training background? And there opportunities came up within IBM where I had the opportunity to do sales training initiatives with not only salespeople, but also with customers. For example, we were selling technology to K-12 schools at one point, and I was working with school superintendents from all around the country, teaching them about IBM technology and the value of that technology. And I just loved it. It became the love of my life. And from there, I actually went out and obtained a doctorate at Vanderbilt University in adult learning, and then started using that as I developed sales training programs and sales training workshops, which I do today.
Now, what gives you more joy, chasing the big deal and closing the big deal, or having one of the people you taught chase and close a big deal?
It's kind of a little of each. You never lose the thrill of closing a deal. I mean, I can't tell you what it feels like. You have to experience it. And it is just such a rush when you get that order from the client and they say, yeah, we want to go ahead with your workshop. We want to deliver it. In some cases, we've delivered it to hundreds of salespeople within certain organizations.
It's interesting that you say that, because I got to tell you, for me, and some of the things that we do have a pretty hefty price tag on them, and they should, because we deliver real value. But I get just as much of a charge out of someone who buys a $500 something. It's not the money. It's the, do you find the same thing? It can even be a small deal and you still get that pop.
That rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you've shown them the value of what you're delivering to them. And when you do that, and when it's recognized by the client, when they say, yes, we want to move ahead, I mean, there's nothing like it. I remember when I was selling competitive mainframes. I remember it 2 weeks ago when I sold the sales training workshop. It's the same. It's that feeling that you really accomplished something. They understood the value you can deliver to them, and you create and deliver value. It's just unbelievable.
And you know you've done something that's good for everybody involved. That's good,
right,
for the planet. It's good for the people. And it just feels good, doesn't it?
Win, win, win. All the way around. And again, I've got a son who's a sales executive now, and he's basically the same way. And he loves it. He just absolutely loves the thrill of closing a deal. And I like to think that he got a little of that from me.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that has me so excited about this book, well, there are a few things. You and I haven't even talked in a while. My home burned down, and this has been over a year ago. Nobody got hurt, and everybody's fine, and we're all great. But my Steve Bistritz signed copy of the other book is gone. So I'm looking forward to getting the second edition. I'm going to get that signed. So we're going to make that happen. But I love the idea that you have incorporated some of these very important conversations around all the new stuff that's available to us and that we need to take into account as we go out and try to serve these executives. But yet you haven't let go of those timeless principles,
right,
that were in the earlier work. I love how you've managed to just keep all of that in check.
Thank you. It's keeping your integrity. Like Buck Rogers said, I never forgot that. And it's so important. And I think about that in all my dealings with people today. Always maintain the highest level of integrity. It'll never let you down.
All right. So for those poor souls out there that don't have their own radio show and may not have the inside track to a hand-delivered book, how can our listeners get their hands on the book? And where should they go to have a conversation with you or someone on your team about these workshops?
Sure. Well, Amazon, that's the answer to almost everything these
yeah,
days,
really.
Right? Right.
I can stop asking that, I guess.
Right.
That's almost always the answer.
You can go right now, right today, and get the book on Amazon. But to get more information about me, it's sellxl.com. It's like sell extra large, sellxl.com. You'll see a video of me there on the homepage and more information about my workshops, how to get in touch with me. And I'd love to talk to you about having a workshop delivered in your company.
What an absolute pleasure to have you come by, man. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Enjoyed it. I really did. Thank you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for Lee Cantor. Our guest today, Steve Britsett with... You listen to that. How long have we known each other? Our guest today, Steve Bistritz, our producer, right. Katie Galley, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.